Hello and welcome to the second episode of the second season of the IAS podcast. In this episode, hosted by David Marnout, Evangelos Kontos will tell about his internship at Insect Sense, in which he participated in a project that trains bees to smell the coronavirus. Enjoy!
You can't build peace on empty stomachs.
Let's bring one and one together. I watch the world from your point of view.
Welcome to the second podcast of the second season of the IAS podcast. My name is David Mornout, and I'm very happy that Evangelos Kontos is willing to share his interesting story about the amazing capabilities of bees in detecting COVID-19.
Nice to be here, man.
Thank you.
Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you.
Yeah.
Maybe you can start by shortly introducing yourself.
Yeah. So as you said, I'm Evangelos Kontos. I'm an IAS member for like 5 years now. I actually joined 2016 back home. I'm from Greece. I used to study there. And I joined 2016, and since I was quite active in Greece, we went to various places in Europe, and we also had a lot of visitors over, a lot of guests. And then I moved to the Netherlands, and the association was quite young back then, so I thought my experience might help. So I also was the national director of IAS Netherlands for a year. And now I'm less active, I'm quite busy also, I'm doing my internship. And I'm almost done with my studies right now.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, nice to hear. So you started with IAS in Greece, and then you became national director in the Netherlands.
Yeah.
And now you're currently, if I'm correct, very busy with an internship.
Yeah.
At Insect Sense, right?
Yeah, exactly.
So maybe you can tell a bit more about this very interesting internship.
Yeah, of course. So the whole concept starts from the founder of the company, Arias Amini. He is a geologist, and he was trying to find innovative ways to detect minerals, and he thought of using insects for that, and specifically honeybees. And they were actually able to find minerals, and then later they were also able to find mines. So they were very good at finding mines and minefields in Croatia and other places in the world. And was a very good way to do it, because they're flying, you know, they're not getting hurt from the mines. Mm-hmm. So that's how it started. And then he thought maybe we can apply that to human diseases, because bees can also detect tuberculosis in humans. So this has already been done before.
Okay.
And also dogs are able to detect cancer, and they are able to detect COVID recently. So if dogs can do it, bees are good enough to do it as well,
mm-hmm.
in terms of olfactory capabilities. So we thought, let's try to see if they can actually detect COVID, and maybe they can be a rapid diagnostic test. They can be part of it, you know? So that was the thought.
Yeah, that seems like a very good idea, because the current testing facilities are quite difficult, expensive maybe.
Yeah.
So you at your institute, you have developed like this method to train the bees, and because I can imagine that they smell it, but then how do you know that the bee knows it is corona? Like, how do you train a bee?
Yeah. So, first of all, let's start from the beginning. As I said, the dogs also do it. And the idea is that you have a disease or you have a metabolic pathology in your body.
Mm-hmm.
This would change your body's physiology. And as a result, also the volatiles that you emit, you know, your smell, basically, mm-hmm. how you smell, is going to change based on that.
Yeah.
So now, dogs and bees and other animals, also Drosophila, for example, can detect cancer.
Yeah.
So all these animals, they can detect not the pathogen itself, not the virus itself, but mm-hmm. the changes in your body. So that's what they detect. We cannot smell it because our noses are not that good. But for all these animals, their noses are amazing. They can do it.
So it's not like, so they cannot really smell like the virus, but they can smell the responses from the virus.
Exactly.
So, like, if you have like a current corona test, then the bee could like smell on the swab and smell if it is corona.
That's exactly what we did. Basically, we had swabs from the small animals called minks.
Uh huh.
They look like otters, you know.
Yeah, I know them. Yeah.
And they can also get infected by corona. So we took swabs from their nose, like we do in the PCR tests,
mm-hmm.
we do, or the rapid tests. And then you put that in a syringe and you pump the air towards the bees. And every time you expose them to a COVID-infected sample, then you give them sugar water. And then when you expose them to a healthy sample, you give them nothing. Mm-hmm. So at some point, they associate the sugar water with the COVID sample.
Ah.
Now, in order to take the sugar water, that's basically how they learn to collect flowers also, you know, because they go out there and the flowers that taste well, they keep collecting them.
Yeah.
So that's basically the logic behind it. And then when you give them, of course, the sugar water, they will extend their proboscis. It's like they have like a very long tongue.
Mm-hmm.
So they will expose it to collect the sugar water. And so when they're trained, basically they associate the COVID-infected individuals with the sugar water. So every time they're exposed to COVID-infected samples,
yeah,
they will expose their tongue. And then we know
that
this association exists.
That's a brilliant invention, actually. And so that I can imagine that bees might also be able to smell like other volatiles, as you mentioned.
Yeah, you can train them for a lot of stuff.
Yeah, well,
said the founder of our company, he used to train them in TNT.
Yeah.
So then they would go and find the mines and clear out minefields.
And is there like already, so you test this with the minks, and it has also, I can imagine that then you can already almost assume that it will also work with people.
Yeah.
And that has also already been tested?
Yeah, we tested it with very few human samples, but because the samples were so few, we can't have statistically significant results to talk about. But there's definitely a trend.
Ah, wow.
It was very few samples, but it worked in there.
Uh-huh.
And we cannot know if it's like enough samples. It's not enough.
Yeah,
to actually conclude something. It was more to just test our concept. But with the minks, it worked perfectly, and you can assume, of course, we're also mammals. They're mammals. It's pretty much the same physiology.
Yeah. Oh, wow. Yeah. Do you think that this method might be used like in a few months or in like half a year?
That's exactly what we're working on right now. So the thing is that, as I mentioned before, they have already been able to train dogs for this.
Mm-hmm.
And so dogs generally are used as diagnostics very often.
Yeah.
But the problem is that dogs can get infected by COVID. And of course, we don't want that, you know, you don't want to hurt any animals, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So you cannot really use dogs for COVID diagnostics. So there's a huge niche there.
Yeah.
So that's the idea, that we replace that with the bees. And we, especially in developing countries, like in the Netherlands, it's very easy to have a very nice lab and develop a very nice rapid test, all that stuff. But if you go to some less developed countries in Africa or like poorer countries, it's quite hard to actually develop all these tests and have a lab everywhere. But it's quite easy to have a honeybee colony everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
So then if we provide them with the technology on how to train the bee, and then you can very easily train it and save people's lives. And that's the mission, mostly. And you can apply that also for virus diseases. If it works with COVID, it can work with malaria, it can work with tuberculosis.
Yeah.
Diseases that really kill people every day, and they're very dangerous.
Yeah. So, yeah, very good invention. And indeed, as you also see, as you mentioned, a lot of potential for scaling up, especially because, of the advantage it has over other methods. And you have even been on national TV with this, right?
Yeah, on Greek national TV. But also we have been, my colleagues, they were in Dutch national TV, of course, and the radio. Of course, it's a very interesting topic, you know, because especially if you know, because most people don't know much about insects.
No.
So then you see all these things that they can do, because they're marvelous, of course, animals. And it's my specialization, by the way. That's what I study. I'm an entomologist.
Mm-hmm.
And I already knew about all this stuff and know how great they are, but most people don't know. And then they hear things like that are applicable in everyday life. And they're very interesting to hear about it and how it works.
Yeah, I think so too. The knowledge about, even at Wageningen students or at like people who are interested in the topic, still knowledge is very like low on these all insects things. So there's, I think, very much still to explore.
Yeah, it's the same, because especially for us biologists, it's insects are the perfect place to study behavior ecology, to study all these things, because they're so smart and such great animals, you know.
Yeah, and so do you see yourself working in the insect sector after your studies?
Or? Yeah, for sure. Since back home, like I was already focused on insects a lot. I really liked also observing them. And in Greece, we have a lot of nature. I live close to the forest, so mm-hmm. go and like, yeah, check them out. I really like insects. So yeah, for sure, I would like to work with them in the future as well.
And also then on like their smelling capacities or on other types of research maybe, or
any type of research, you know, because especially in agriculture, they're very important. Mm-hmm. And I'm also a plant scientist, so combining the two would be amazing. And also, we can find applications for this for their olfactory capabilities everywhere, from agriculture, as we said, to disease diagnostics, to minefields, to everything. You can apply this kind of diagnostics everywhere, I think.
Wow.
If we work hard enough.
Is there maybe something else you would like to share about your insect project or about yourself to our audience, to the EIS listeners?
Yeah, sure. I would like to mention also about the future of the company. As you said, we mm-hmm. want to develop our diagnostic tests, and we're already building collaborations with UNESCO and other associations in order to go to, as I said, developing countries and help them out with our disease, with our bee disease diagnostics. But also we're developing other technologies that are based on insects. And we can talk a lot about this, but generally we're developing more technologies where that can be used as diagnostic tests also, as electronic noses, basically. And that's going to be coming soon, and it's going to be very exciting.
So we should all follow InsectSense social media and to learn more about.
Yeah, follow InsectSense, learn more, and I don't know. Maybe some of you that you're listening, you're going to want to do an internship at some point. You're good with molecular biology, or you love insects,
mm-hmm.
and it would be nice to have excited people in the project also.
Yeah, I think there might be quite some listeners who are interested in this. Yeah, and this is also really like a topic that everyone has to do with in daily life currently.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's a very relevant and interesting research. Yeah, thanks a lot for being in this podcast.
Yeah, also I want to say hi to all the ES people that might be listening. And because you're kind of like a family after a while, after you meet all these people again, I want to say hi to all of them.
Yeah, nice opportunity to do so. Yeah, great.
And thanks a lot for hosting me. It was really nice.
Thank you too. I thought it was very interesting to hear about this. I also learned a lot in the past 15 minutes. So great. Thank you.
Thanks, man.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the EIAS podcast. Special thanks go to my co-EIAS Netherlands members, David, for hosting the episode, and Evangelos for telling a story. The podcast has been edited by me, Ardy, promoted by Festus and his team, and was sponsored by Wageningen University and Research. We hope to see you again next week with a new story from a different continent.
You can't build peace on empty stomachs.
Let's bring one and one.